This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Is that coming? Oh, there we go. Let there be light. In 1985, we were blessed by somebody who invented the first electric Christmas tree lights. Isn't that good? Because 500 years ago, Martin Luther lit the first Christmas trees and many houses burnt down ever since. They use candles. Many communities have competitions to see who can put up the prettiest, the most colourful light displays. And I think that's fitting because the birth of Christ was also decorated with lights. There were the angels who lit up the night for the shepherd. What an incredible sight that must have been. All that power and that glorious light. That would have been absolutely incredible. And then there's the star in the east which led the wise men to find Jesus. And it came to rest over Bethlehem. Now the anti-miracle people suggest that the star of Bethlehem was the unusual combination of three planets. And I want to refute that. As a possibility, because one, it would be anti to what the scripture tells us, but also as you read through the scriptures, you understand that light appeared and disappeared, came on again and stopped still. Now that's miraculous. Those who follow after God, even in the dark, find that the light of God is reserved for them. There is a day star, a light that arises in the heart of all men who follow Christ. And 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arises in your hearts." There's a light within us, and it's supposed to shine brightly. And Jesus says, don't put a bushel over your head. Don't hide yourself. Let your light shine. And that light within you is the light of Christ. The transfiguration was bathed in great light. Paul was bathed in dazzling light on the road to Damascus. The people of Israel were led at night by a pillar of fire that gave light and warmth for those following God. The Holy of Holies was filled with the Shekinah glory of God. So no wonder that Christmas is a time of lights, because Jesus is the light of the world. In John 1:4-5, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." So light energy is both illuminating and it is warming. Some people, bless their hearts, will change their ways this Christmas when they see the light of Christ. And they will see the light of Christ when you let the light of Christ shine from yourself. Unfortunately, some will only change their ways when they feel the heat. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 12:46, Jesus declared, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." The prophets had predicted about the coming Christ in Malachi 4:2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son," that is the light source, S-U-N, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And in Isaiah 9:2, the prophet Isaiah described Jesus coming this way: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned." And it's a repeated theme throughout the scriptures. Jesus is the light of God to a people filled with darkness. Excuse me. And the image of light dispelling darkness is central to our understanding of the incarnation. When Jesus was presented at the temple shortly after his birth, that old man Simeon, he recognized the child and he said, "A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So the metaphor of light makes sense, but it makes sense against a background of darkness. And in the Bible, that metaphor of darkness points to two realities. In one sense, darkness points to the simple fact of human ignorance. Those who are in the dark are those who lack knowledge about something. And so they referred to it, the Jewish people referred to us Gentiles as being like that. A world that had not received the grace of God through the revelation of the Torah, the prophets, and the written revelation of God. In a second sense, darkness refers to evil and willful blindness. And that points beyond the mere fact of simple ignorance. And in that sense, darkness refers to the fact that many folk will deliberately and quite willfully reject the light of Christ. They have that opportunity. John explained he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own and those who were his own received him not. Now it's hard to believe that the Son of God took on that human flesh and came to live amongst our sort of humanity, but the vast majority didn't recognize him or who he was, excuse me. Christmas, my favourite time of year. It's a recognition of the light of Christ. It's a recognition that Jesus came to a lost humanity. It's a recognition that he came for you and for me. It's hard to believe that Jesus took on human flesh and came to live amongst sinful humanity. It's a revelation of the Saviour in that humble manger. So we rightly point to Christ's birth as the central event of human history and the dividing line between the age of darkness and the ages of light. It's reason to celebrate Christmas for our response to this gift of life. It's got to be a celebration. It has to be one of thanksgiving. It's got to be a time of great rejoicing. And I'm so glad that we're back together in time for Christmas. The image of light is central, not only to Christmas, but to Christianity. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. So we have the choice to walk in light or to walk in darkness. I think that's the substance of Christmas. How many of you recall a young atheist a couple of years ago advertised his soul for sale on eBay? His name was Hermann Mette. He was born in 1983. And later in life, he began accepting bids to visit churches and share his thoughts. He said, "I didn't want anyone to be able to tell me that I was just an atheist because I'd never even thought about Christianity." So some 30 church services later, he was still an atheist. But what he did observe is that at many churches he visited, some people were asked to write down how they felt before and after becoming Christian. And the majority of them wrote things like they came out of dark into light. They were lonely and they were befriended. And it got him wondering whether he had to have some desperate or lonely experience. Was that a prerequisite to finding God? We've all seen and known people who've made dramatic changes in their life. They've turned from darkness to light, from lonely to befriended, from dominated by sin to being dominated by Christ. But you don't need to make such a dramatic turnaround to become a Christian. 11 and 12-year-old kids have rarely had the time to experience the darker side of life. They haven't tasted it or perhaps felt it or suffered from it, but they can understand enough of their own personal sin to want Jesus. They can still know enough to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. They can still know enough to understand their sin and their need to repent. They can still know enough to confess Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And they can still know enough to be buried in the waters of baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life, as we experienced last Australia Day. When Meadow looked at those folk, he still missed the real genius of Christ. It's the lives of people who've lived in the depth of the blackness of despair that proves the power of the light of Christ. They're the kind of people which polite society would perhaps cast aside as undesirable. Some folk would say they've done such terrible things. They've lived unsavoury and darkened lives. They're not the kind of people most folk would invite to tea parties, let alone invite to church. Let that not be our witness. Let our light shine. For many people in the world, only the good deserve acceptance. And you know, that's one of the bizarre mindsets of Christmas. We've even written Christmas songs where only the good get gifts. He's watching if you've been naughty or nice. Yeah. Lewis Sperry Schaeffer, who is a famous American theologian, said, "Anyone can devise a plan by which good people may go to heaven, but only God can devise a plan whereby sinners who are his enemies can go to heaven." Isn't that awesome about our God? Isn't that something to celebrate at Christmas? That the light of life came into man, and you and I are here because of that light. You know, it frustrated the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Here was Jesus spending his time with those who had been naughty, not nice. Jesus ate with prostitutes and tax collectors, sinners. These were the folk that deserved a lump of coal for Christmas. And then he had the gall to condemn the ones who should have gotten the good Christmas gifts, all those righteous Pharisees. In Luke 18, Jesus told the story of two men who came into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 18, verses 11 to 14. The message of the light that came into a dark world was this: you and I can't be good enough to be good enough to be accepted by God. If you think your life is righteous without depending upon the blood of Jesus, your vision is darkened. You've failed to shine the light of God on your life. Because if you did shine God's light on your life, you'd recognize that there is a standard of righteousness, and you'd realize that you were not going to measure up, and neither would I. That's the kind of truth that people like Hemant Mehta have trouble understanding. The truth that all have sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Because Christmas, Jesus came for both. Those who are obviously unrighteous, and for those who have mistakenly thought that they were righteous. He's the light of life for all. No matter where you turn in God's word, you'll find that this season is about light. We love to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. But you know, that carol is not about night or darkness, it's about the light. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. When we sing, "Hark the herald angels sing," we say, "Hail the Son of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." And we sing at Christmas because we have something to really sing about. Light has come into the world, and you and I need never to walk in darkness ever again. Ever again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. John 1:1-5. So light is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to list five brief things about light and about Christ. Jesus is pure light. He was exposed to sin, but he was never contaminated by sin. He could touch sinners, but sin never touched him. He was undefiled. And when the Bible calls Jesus the light of the world, it's a reminder of the sinless, stainless purity of the Son of God. The Bible says that he was in the world in John 1:10, but he was not of this world, just like you and me. Jesus did not have his origin here. Think about this. His birth in Bethlehem was not the beginning of his life. It was the beginning of our experience of him. For in eternity past, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit always were. There was never a time when God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, did not exist. He has no beginning and no end. And because Jesus was not of this world, he is the pure, incorruptible light. The only person who could look others in the face and say, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" John 8:46. The baby born in Bethlehem was the true light, the pure light of heaven. The second point I want to make is Jesus is the constant light. In the natural world, the speed of light is a constant. Albert Einstein said the reason he was able to construct his famous theory of relativity was because there is only one thing in the world that is constant, the speed of life. And everything else is relative to that. The only constant that you and I have in our daily walk, however many years you may have been walking, are the years that you've been around Jesus. He alone is our constant. He's our constant for every one of us. Third, Jesus is our constant in the spiritual realm. You know, the sun will not shine for eternity. Its energy is slowly being used up. Even the sun one day will cease to shine. But the light of Christ will illuminate heaven throughout eternity. Revelation tells us that in the New Jerusalem, there's no sun, there's no moon, because the very light of God will illuminate eternity. Just like the first day of creation, the light of the Godhead filled the universe. When God said in Genesis 1, "Let there be light," that's what he was referring to. The Godhead lit up the entire universe before the sun, the moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. The fourth point, Jesus is the source of light. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did illumine it, and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof, Revelation 21:23. Isn't it going to be great? We'll have no need for light switches, fuses, batteries. We've just had our first Christmas with the kids up in New South Wales and preparing for our Christmas down here with Ollie. Everything you buy has to have batteries. It's going to be a blessed thing not to have batteries anymore. Or utility companies. For he himself will be our source of light. And you and I are going to bask in the glory of that light forever. Isn't that awesome? I find that just mind-boggling. Excites me about Christmas. And finally, point five, Jesus is that vital light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's your light. He's your life. You live and breathe because of him. We're here today because Jesus said we can be here. I woke up this morning, no thick chalk line around my outline. It's a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it and be glad in it. Wow. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he came to give us life. When the Holy Spirit shone the light of the gospel into our hearts, a divine photosynthesis took place, producing life where before there was only death. Isn't that awesome that you and I have moved from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? That ought to excite you. The entrance of your words gives light. Psalm 119, verse 130. Every time you read the word, read scripture, there's an entrance of light into you. Do you know that everywhere Jesus went during his earthly ministry, he brought life? Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Robbie, there's your answer. Jesus, God is not stingy with us. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. He blesses us. He overwhelms us with his goodness in whatever way he chooses. Now there's another focus in the passage. In John 1:67, it says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So who was this John? John the Baptist had one specific purpose in his life. He had been sent to be a witness to light. His life's goal was to point the way to Jesus, and because of that, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11. Doesn't it encourage your heart that you've been called to be a witness to the light? That your witness reflects the light of Christ, the life of men. I find that so encouraging. I find that a great scripture. Why did Jesus praise John like that? Because John lived his life pointing people to Jesus. He lived his life bringing God's life into people's darkness, into their lives. Every time we share Jesus with someone else, every time we share Jesus with others, every time we bring people to God, every time we invite someone to church, Jesus is praising us. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Luke 12:8. So every time you talk about Jesus to others, Jesus is up there in heaven mentioning you by name. He's talking about you with his angels, to his Father. As if you decorated your life with so many Christmas lights, it could be seen from outer space. And there are people out there who are waiting for you to share the Jesus that you have. 5 years ago, New Lifeway research found that 62%, and the first is 2% of formerly church people are open to attending church regularly again. Spread the light, folks. At least 62%, that's two-thirds, aren't going to reject you. 58% simply feel it's time to return to church. Excuse me. 41% said a friend or acquaintance, if they invited them, would come. 35% would return if they knew there were people there like them. That's an easy one. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not that much different. 31% feel God is calling them to attend church. 25% would resume if their children asked them to go with them. It's usually the other way around, isn't it? And another 25% would go if an adult family member invited them to come back. All of us have family members who don't come. So why don't you switch on the light this year and give it a try? Give it a go. So why don't you come to church with me this morning? 9:30, 25th, easy to remember. Come. You might be surprised. Might be the best Christmas gift and the best Christmas you've ever had. Just might be. It's simply a matter of deciding to share the light of Jesus with people who are around you. I don't know about you, but I've found this period of COVID-19 a great blessing, because for the first time in a long time, people are prepared to listen. There's so much fear out there with it. People are listening. You might be their light this season. You know, I read a story a week ago about a 92-year-old woman who preached to the man who robbed her. Her name was Pauline Jacoby, and she just returned to her car with her groceries, got into the driver's seat, and a man with a gun opened the passenger door, sat down beside her, demanded all her money, and she looked him in the eye and said, "No." In fact, she turned him down three times. And she told him, "As quick as you kill me, I'll go to heaven, but you'll go to hell." And then she witnessed to him for the next 10 minutes. And by the time she was finished, she had the man in tears. She gave him $10, all the money she had, told him not to spend it on whiskey. He kissed her on the cheek and he walked away. She witnessed to a man who walked in darkness, a man who carried a gun, a man who might very well have hurt her. But she said, "Jesus is in this car and he goes with me everywhere I go." Isn't that freeing? That's a 92-year-old. Jesus is the light, but we don't always like the light because we have got comfortable with a few dark spots. Some areas of life that are in the shade where most of us don't want everybody looking. Now, don't start getting worried. I'm not going to go to a major I have sinned speech or anything like that. You know, believe it or not, I have a few faults. At night, I like to get my socks off my feet and I just drop them beside my chair. Very untidy of me. But if the doorbell rings, my first reaction is to find where I drop my socks. Because Lynn will kill me if somebody comes in and my socks are on the floor. I'll welcome whoever it is to our house, but not till I find those socks first. My guess is that something like that is true for all of us. Maybe in our inner self, you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, and maybe you're still checking things out, but there are areas of life that you know about, but you'd rather no one else looked at those areas with a microscope. Maybe it's an attitude that you have towards someone. Perhaps there's an integrity issue and you're not completely honest in some areas of home or at work. Maybe there's a secret sin that no one knows about and someone you have managed to convince yourself that God doesn't see into that area of your life, or at least you try not to think about God, that he sees you do it. We talk about Jesus as the light of the world as a joyful pronouncement, but we have to realize that Jesus' presence cuts both ways with us. It is a blessing. But it can be a little painful as well, because he does see and he does want to bring us into the light even further. He does want us to deal with those things. You know, there was a period in between the two testaments of some 400, 430 years called the intertestamental period. It was a very dark period of time for God's people because no one heard from God during all that time. Even the Jewish leaders knew that God had stopped talking to them. No prophets that came to them to guide them or chastise them. And you know what it means when someone doesn't even care enough anymore to try and correct you. The Romans moved in and various governors that ruled the region brought with them various levels of oppression. And the most notable of the oppressors was Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, if you don't like your name or middle name, just suck it up, princess, because this guy has got one worse than yours. He conquered Jerusalem and slaughtered a pig on the altar in the Holy of Holies. He desecrated the temple. He forced the Jews to eat pork. And if they refused, whole families were killed, starting with the youngest and moving to the oldest. And a group rose up, driving back the Romans, called the Maccabees. But after they regained Jerusalem, restored worship in the temple, which is actually the origin of the Hanukkah story, by the way, they became corrupt and started selling the office of high priest and making other deals with Romans to benefit their family. And that's why we read in the scriptures of there being two high priests about the time of Christ. If you were a Jew during that time, there was certain reason for despair. It seemed like God may have abandoned you. You were oppressed by the greatest and strongest nation in the history of the world, and even your own religious leaders were corrupt and taking advantage of the common people. And it's against this backdrop of darkness and despair that Jesus was born. And after 400 years of silence from God, ordinary people heard the sound of God and of angels. Is it any wonder that the Pharisees were so rigid in their attitudes? You've met people who have had a hard upbringing or a hard life. They've had difficult circumstances. Maybe that could describe your life. When people grow up having to live constantly in survival mode, it makes them hard and rigid. And it needs that compassion of Christ to be able to break through. Jesus came to penetrate that darkness. John 1 tells us all about that. The darkness couldn't comprehend Jesus. When someone is hard, when they've become accustomed to everyone in their lives taking advantage of them, to always having to look out for themselves, then it's impossible for them to understand it when someone actually does love them or cares for them. They're always waiting for the catch. Maybe that's a hurdle for you in relating to God. You feel like he's driving a bargain that is really in his own best interest, that he will love you if you will behave a certain way, that the light of Jesus is just a searchlight trying to find something in your life to condemn. And I've got to tell you, that's wrong thinking. The light of Christ is to illuminate you and to lift you into the presence of the living God. When we have an area of darkness in our lives, it leads us to be short-sighted. Maybe, and we see that most clearly in other people because we have a log in our eye and not a splinter. Have you ever seen someone doing something stupid? Maybe doing it over and over again, and you just don't understand how they can't see the damage that they're doing. It's because of darkness that leaves us unable to evaluate something based on any other standard than emotions. This leads us to live lives of highs and lows, and we try to feel our way through life. One day you're high as a kite, and the next week you're suicidal, or ferociously angry, or completely lacking in self-confidence. What Jesus wants to do is shine a light into every area of your life and my life where there is any darkness at all, and free us all from living some emotional yo-yo existence. But the lesson that we learn from bringing light into our darkness is that initially, like when the light is shined in your eyes, it's a bit painful, and you've got to adjust to the light. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple." John 3:17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 16:13 says, "The Holy Spirit will guide you and me into all truth." So maybe someone's sitting here this morning and you know exactly what area or areas of your life you have not let the light of Christ penetrate. All I'm saying is ask the Holy Spirit to do it and he will do it. Let him light you up this Christmas. Let him love you into the kingdom. Let him love you into repentance. Let him love you into forgiveness. Let him love you into baptism. Let him love you into real life. We can sit here and do nothing, and we can leave and celebrate Christmas just like we always do, or we can truly acknowledge the reason that Jesus came as the light of the world, to help you and me step out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He is the light. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So the life and the light went out of Adam's race when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he's come. And he's coming again. When we make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, the one who entered time and space as that little babe in Bethlehem comes in, he turns the light on, and life begins. You haven't lived till you've met Jesus. You haven't lived life until you've experienced life under God's hand. You haven't experienced the wonders of change and miraculous events until you walk with the Lord. I think that's the message of Christmas. Christ, both as Lord and Savior, entered time and space as that little babe in Bethlehem, and he came in and he turned on the lights, and life began for every one of us. And not just life, but eternal life. I want you to have a look around the church just as you are now. And all these faces that we recognize and see and that we're sharing this life with. And understand, you're going to see these faces for all eternity. Because the light of Christ is in each and every one of them. Even Mark. That's the light of Christ. That's the life of men. That's the life we have. The lights are on, folks. When you light that Christmas candle on your table, think deeply about what you've just done. You've just brought light into that event. He is the light of Christmas. He's the light of life and the light of men. When you light that candle on your Christmas table, when you turn the lights on of your Christmas tree, when you light up with the love and cheer of Christmas, I want you to think, Jesus is indeed the light, and he is the life of man, meaning mankind, men and women. And I believe absolutely that he wants you and me to shine this Christmas. Now, I only get next week, really, to give you another Christmas message before it's Christmas. So I'm encouraging you. Go out this week charged up. Get energized. Get filled. Let your light shine. People have had enough over the last 9 months. Let's birth a new spirit about Christmas within ourselves and within the families that we know and love, within this church. Let your light shine, that they might see the light of Christ. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.